come on around Arizona and let's get our hands in the soil. Good morning. You are tuned in to Rosie on the House. And as we come around the yard here, we find Mr. John J. Harper. Oh.
Are you stumped?
I'm going to stop.
Where
there.
Am
I'll
I from?
I'll let you fill in the blank.
Well, for almost 40 years, Harper's Nursery and Landscape, now Hickman's Farm's Choice Fertilizers.
Congratulations on the new career path and the new chapter. It's one more time. Let me write this down. I wasn't writing it first time. The chief poop tech.
Not even the chief.
The other.
No, I'm not even the chief. I'm way down on the poop line.
You're the other egg or the other chicken product salesman.
Chicken, yes, the other thing that comes out of chickens, salesman. Right. You can make chicken salad out of our chicken poop, you know, actually.
And that's what we're here to talk about today. Anything right. for your gardening landscape. Right. It's a great time to plant. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation. 411-923 text questions. Or if you have a picture that you need help with a plant or insect identification, email to info@rosieonthehouse.com.
You know, one thing, not this isn't great gardening news, but our friend, the Tacoma caterpillar, the caterpillar that, I don't know, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago. You know how time is. It maybe it was a little longer, but.
Maybe last week.
Fairly recently. It was before last week.
Okay.
About this time of year, monsoon or post-monsoon, all of a sudden, people's yellow bells, orange bells, all of those plants in the genus Tacoma started getting eaten by something. And it's a little teeny tiny caterpillar, but it looks like somebody has sprinkled pepper all over your plant. And that's the feces of the caterpillar, his little pelleted, black pelleted poop. That's the best way to actually know that's what he is. But you will see the devastation on the ends of your orange bells, yellow bells, bells of fire, you know, all of those varieties and hybrids of the Tacoma species that are out there now. So noticed in the last, just in the last few days, there are pretty heavy infestations of those on the Tacoma. So if you've got orange bells and yellow bells and they're looking a little weird, probably need to go out there and check them out. Spinosad, Captain Jack's from Bonide, does a great job on that. You kind of have to keep after it, but it's organic, it's safe, easy to use, and it does a good job on this Tacoma caterpillar. So just a little inside baseball, what's all of a sudden propped up in the garden. Besides that, it's garden prep time. It's time to be prepping the soil because we're getting really close now that we're into September, as soon as this weather breaks a little bit, to being able to plant those winter vegetables, which are the you and I helped you write a little article the other day. It's the leafy things, anything we eat the leaf of, a stem or modified stem of, maybe a flower or modified flower of, and the root of. So all of the root, carrots and beets and radishes and turnips and spinach and lettuce and chard and kale, if you can stand to eat it. Your wife makes you eat it, you might as well plant it, right?
I have found one way I like it.
Chips?
Yep. Jennifer bakes them.
Yeah. Yeah. They make a really good little chip. Yeah. It's really good. And you know what? In soups. They're really good in soups because they don't get, you know how spinach gets just mushy and wilty?
Yeah.
Kale maintains some little bit of crispness.
A little body to it.
A little body to it. And it really, it kind of soaks up, it has its own flavor, but it soaks up a little flavor. I like it in soups real well.
So I like the kale chips on the salad. You know, just give the salad a little bit of a crunch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good idea. So that's what we're getting ready to plant when Mother Nature decides to cooperate with some temperatures that are a little more reasonable. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be out there assessing your soil, turning some good organic compost material, some good organic fertilizers, maybe some gypsum, take it. You got a 3-day weekend. Take, you know, every day go out and do a little work. It wasn't half bad this morning out. So, you know, the days are getting shorter. cooling off a little bit at night. We actually kind of sat outside at last night and had a beverage, and it it's getting there. Yeah. It's getting there. So do it, break it up, you'll be ready to go.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you as we take a call. Perfect opportunity to get on the line. Kate in Glendale starts us off this morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I have actually a couple questions. I forgot to tell Jennifer the second one. The first is I have raised bed gardens that are made out of old troughs, watering troughs.
Okay.
And they sit up on block, and they have good drainage and good soil. And I put in tomatoes and squash and bell peppers in the spring and got pretty good production from them, and because I did put them in a little late. But all the plants have survived the summer, and they're huge.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, can I cut them back? Will they grow back and produce more, or should I just tear them out and do something else?
Well, I wouldn't cut them back. I would just, if you're going to leave them, just keep fertilizing them and let them flourish and do their thing.
They're really hideous. Like, they have these huge long stalks where a lot of the leaves have died, and so the new growth is like, if I
the
vine,
yeah, you've got
the
you've
vine
got,
would be 4 or 6 feet long, you know.
Yeah.
So they're just keep curling around the
here's a
area
question
where they're growing.
Here's a question: do you have any open space to plant any of the winter crops?
No.
Then I think we just answered your question. You tear them out, and you make room for things that are going to be much more productive for you going into the cooler season.
So they wouldn't be really very productive anyway during the fall and winter.
No, the tomatoes definitely wouldn't. So probably not. You know, the pepper might, but the bottom line is, if you need that space and you want to grow winter vegetables, then you need the space.
No, I want broccoli and cauliflower and lettuce and stuff. So,
all right, then
I'll just rip it all out.
There you go.
And put it in the composter. And then the second question was, we have about a 3-year-old box plum tree. It's planted about 3 feet away from a block fence. We had drip to it, but we had heard you say so many times that that was not enough water. So we really just turn that off and deep water it every few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since we planted it, it blooms beautifully. It has great foliage. And then by this time, it's literally got about 5 leaves on it. It's just a stick. But it comes back. It's come back every spring.
Okay.
Are we doing something else wrong?
And you said a box plum. It was in a box when you planted it?
Yeah. Moon Valley planted it for us.
Okay. Well, number one, let's go back to the drip comment. Drip will put on enough water if you'll let it run long enough. The problem with drip is that, you know, it puts it on very slowly, and people just don't have either enough emitters or they're not willing to let it run long enough. And if it's on the system with other things that only need an hour, you know, that tree probably needs 4, 5, 6, 10 hours with a drip. So you can make the drip work by either adding more drippers, move them away from the trunk as the tree grows, and let it run long enough to completely water the tree. So it definitely can give it enough water, but you've got to understand and learn how to run drip the right way. That being said, plums, all of the stone fruit type trees need really good drainage, and they do suffer in the summer heat. I would suggest putting some good compost around the base of that tree, probably a little gypsum or maybe some soil sulfur. Try and get that soil cooled down and get the salts leached out a bit and see if we can't open it up and try and water it. You need to get that water down about 3 feet. So take a piece of rebar or something that's strong enough and stiff enough that you can stick down in there as you're watering it and see how deep you're getting the water.
We appreciate the call and enjoy your fall gardening. You've mentioned before that this is just your favorite time of the year, and every time it comes around, just the planting and the break from the heat and the opportunity to put so much in the ground.
Well, it's definitely our longest good season. So spring is wonderful. It just doesn't last very long, and you know what's coming.
Coming, yeah. Trips to the mountains. What about lawns? We're in that transition period, or we're in the stretch period if you're not going to do a winter lawn.
Well, we just, you know, it's kind of odd. You just get your Bermuda lawn looking really good, and then it's time to scalp it and overseed it with the winter lawn. So if you're going to plant a winter lawn, or some type of ryegrass probably, a cool season grass through the winter months, we do that in, for homeowners, wait until about the middle of October to do that. You probably don't want to fertilize the lawn you're going to overseed again. You want it to slow down. You don't want to stimulate and not a new growth, because we're gonna stress it out anyway by scalping it, taking all the growth off of it, and kind of stressing it out so that we can plant that, and then we're going to plant a competitor right on top of it. So. And we're really doing that prior to dormancy, because if we wait till it goes completely dormant, then it's pretty cool or cold, and the ryegrass has a hard time, and it's slow to germinate. So don't fertilize those lawns. If you are not going to plant a winter lawn, then you want to feed for sure one more time, maybe a couple more times, and keep that lawn as long as the temperatures are right and it's actively growing. Keep it well nourished and fed right on into the winter months, and it'll stay green a long time for you.
We're going to go early this time. We always try and stretch it late, but I cut it a couple weeks ago to start killing off, and it's amazing once you cut the water, even on a healthy Bermuda, how fast you can start to see patches drying up.
Yeah, and I would be a little careful cutting the water too much, but you can start lowering your mowing heights and slowing down on the water.
1-888-767-4348.